right, let's go. A better team now than at the end of the season, and why?
I mean, you would hope so, right? I mean, obviously, we haven't played a game yet, so we don't really know, but I feel like we've added some pieces through free agency that are going to help us. They give us depth. You know, we got some experienced guys in like Eric Armstead, Mitch Morse, who can really add some, one, the competition you're looking for, but two, I think a veteran presence at those positions. You know, a guy like Mac Jones to come in and solidify and really give us three quarterbacks that you're going to need, you know, as we've seen, as history would say. You know, our number one thing, though, is to keep Trevor healthy. Our best chance of winning games is keeping Trevor healthy. You know, so I feel like we've – and then re-signing guys, you know, like the DTs, right? Daniel Thomas and Caleb Johnson and restructuring Brandon and, you know, getting Ezra Cleveland back and just being able to kind of work through your roster that way and you know, getting the guys that are going to help us win football games moving forward.
What does that do?
Well, yeah, you guys know I was in Kansas City when we drafted him, so obviously liked him, and now that he became available, you know, and Luke's, listen, this is not it's not a knock on Luke at all. It's just a matter of getting better at a position, getting better as a group, and I think Mitch brings a veteran presence. He's done it for several years now, and it's really somebody that Luke can invest some time learning from, right? And understanding, you know, I think Mitch's strengths can be Luke's weaknesses and vice versa, right? Luke's strengths, Mitch's weaknesses, and they can really work together and have what I would, you know, that competition that you want. And so having a guy like Mitch, a veteran backup, come in, much like when we signed Brandon a couple years ago, just helps us better as an offensive line.
Gabe Davis fit into what you want to do on offense?
And Gabe is that to me, he's like a Swiss Army knife. You know, he can run routes. The guy's right around 81, 82 targets a year for the last 4 years. You know, if you average them out, so he's a big part of the offense. You know, in Buffalo, and I think he's going to be another key piece to what we're doing. And you know, we can put him in positions to block. We can put him in positions to run. He's a good route runner. He's strong. He's big. He's local. You know, I mean, all things are positive with Gabe. And really looking forward to getting him in there and seeing how he does fit with Christian and Zay and, you know, even Devin Duvernay now, getting him in that mix. And obviously Parker Washington, Elijah Cook, some of the young guys we have. It should be a really good, exciting offseason to see just how we can make all these pieces work.
And we've talked about making more plays down the field. That's what he wants to make his next step.
Evan
Ingram, yeah. So is that the next progression for him, to be more of a downfield guy? A lot of that depends on how you want to use him, right?
Yeah, it depends on how you want to use him. But I he's definitely capable of doing that. He's shown that. We've got, as a staff, we've got to put him in positions to do that, number one. And, yeah, I mean, that, you know, for a guy like Evan, I think that's, you know, with his skill set, I think it's would only help us, right? With his ability to get down the field, his speed, you know, strong to the catch point, all that kind of stuff. You know, and again, I put it more back on us as you know, play callers, decision makers, to make sure that we are, you know, putting him in that position.
Was the Brenton Strange addition supposed to kind of help that?
Yeah, you know, it is and it will. You know, and you know, Brenton's another young tight end that we got to find ways to get on the field and create some matchups. We like what he did last year for us, and we can build upon that. I think that tight end room is a strong room, even with Luke. You know, with Luke in there, and it just, again, there's depth and there's stability, which you got to have.
One of those free agent pieces that you brought in was Darnell Savage. What'd you like about him for free agent?
You know, his nickel coverage ability inside, his ability to blitz. He's a good tackler. He's a willing tackler. He's a pretty good cover guy, you know. I mean, just all things that we were looking for at that position. And he's got the versatility to play multiple spots too on defense. So he does give you that safety flex if you want to do it. He can play that nickel spot if you want to move him in there. We have a young kid, Antonio Johnson. It's going to be a nice little work in progress there with these two guys. And just excited again to get him in and get him working when he can.
The safety market has been kind of devalued around the league. But what's the impact value of having a versatile piece like Darnell, like a safety, do a lot of things in your defense?
I think anymore, you're starting to see more guys with position flexibility. Just like you would offensive linemen, right? You know, guards that can play center, tackles can play both sides. Receivers, you can move receivers around. I just think it just helps your overall team. And if you do have an injury at a position, you can plug and play a guy. And so having a guy like Darnell who has that ability to play some safety, even Antonio who we drafted, Antonio can play safety, he can play nickel. So you got the best of both worlds out of those two guys.
Is that important in the new defensive scheme? You guys be able to do that?
Yeah, it is. It is. Ryan's scheme is a little more four down. And look, you're playing 75%+ anyway in nickel defense, right? So you're always going to be in four down fronts, and you're always going to play with a nickel, whether it's a normal nickel body or a big nickel, as a third safety, teams want to call it sometimes. But it's all part of what Ryan wants to do and what he wants to get accomplished.
How much do you think not winning the division, especially, frankly, losing it the way you did, you think will serve as fuel for the guys that are coming back?
Yeah, obviously as a coach, you're hopeful that's the motivation, right? I mean, the way we finished the last month and a half is not our standard, and it's not what we talk about. It goes against everything we talk about, really. And we still had opportunities all the way to the 18th week of the regular season. So, we're there at the end. We just got to figure out a way to kind of push through that envelope and be there. And credit Houston. I mean, they battled their tails off all year. They were much like us a year ago in 22. We had to battle our tails off to get where we got to. So credit to D'Amico and his staff and those players in Houston, for winning the division the way they did.
Flip back to what you mentioned. You were the hunter in 2022. Last year, you're the hunter. Are you, in some ways, I mean, you had to get to Philly, your team's in Philly the same way. Started out as hunters and then became the hunter. How do you kind of balance that? Do you feel like teams do better as the hunter? Or?
I guess. I mean, now we're going back to the hunter again, right? I mean, this is the culture that I want to establish in Jacksonville, and this is the reason why you go get guys like Mitch Morse and Eric Armsteads and the Darnell Savages and guys that have been to the postseason. These guys have been captains on their teams, and they've been to Super Bowls, they've been to AFC Championship games. So these guys know how to win, and that's kind of the influx of talent that we want to bring onto this our young roster, guys that have been there, done that. And it's just I've got to continue to message the team in the right way. And there's got to be a sort of a confidence about you that, when you take the field on game day that, hey, there's going to be game, you're going to get beat. I understand that. But you got to have that confidence and that swagger that you're going to get the job done, on game day. And I think bringing in some of these free agents we did this spring are going to help that.
How long did it take you to shake off the Titans loss, just the way it happened?
Well, for me, it's not so much that loss as much as it is the last, six games. When we were sitting there at 8-3 and we had everything going for us and right in front of us, I don't know if I'll ever get over it. I think for me, it's going to be my motivation, my fuel, moving forward. And I'm not going to let it cloud the vision, but at the same time, it's going to be close in my mind as I move forward with the team this spring.
What intrigued you most about Eric Armstead in that trade?
Yeah, this guy. First of all, he's played a ton of football. Trent has familiarity with him, drafted him in San Francisco. He's been an outstanding player for them, obviously, and somebody that a player that. we got Josh Allen, who's, you know, a fifth-year guy. Trayvon's a young second-year guy, or going into his third. This is somebody that can come in and I think can really, number one, help Trayvon, you know, continue to grow, but at the same time, give us what we need with the scheme that Ryan Nielsen wants to employ by having the pieces there. He can play defensive end. He can move inside on third down. He can, you know, same with Trayvon. He can play end. He can move inside. There's a lot of different things. And then you add Roy Robertson. You add Devon. You know Josh in there. I mean, there's a the making of a potentially good defensive line by adding a guy like Eric and his credibility, his work ethic, and just the amount of football and where he's played.
Leadership skills, the Walter Payton Man of the Year. How much does that play into a guy
huge.
Like that?
It's huge. You know, those, and again, that's the reason why you go get guys like that have kind of been there and done it. They're you know, the pinnacle of our sport, and you know, I need guys on our team that have had accolades and awards like our guys can see exactly what that looks like, right? And that's kind of the next step or the next phase for us as a team moving forward.
You think you guys got comfortable at 8-3, or maybe even going into the season?
I believe so. I believe you can definitely get comfortable. You can kind of believe and read into the hype that's surrounding your football team, and you know that's the one thing that you can't happen, right? You got to guard against that. Obviously, and you know, something that I think our team is going to realize, you know, moving forward.
How do you personally handle that? You're good with messaging.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of staying positive. I think it's just staying forward focused, forward thinking, and you know, I you hate to live in the past, but I think you can remember the past, you know, and I think it's fuel. Moving forward is kind of our motivation as we go.
How do you feel about your cornerback room right now as a whole?
Corner?
Yeah.
I feel good. You know, I do feel good. You know, Ronald Darby, who we had in Philly and added that piece, obviously, and with Tyson back there and you know, now with Darnell adding that mix. We got, as we mentioned, Antonio and you know, we got some young players that have played and you know, Monteric and stuff like that. I mean, it's obviously a position that we're always gonna, you know, it's a passing league, right? So you got to have defenders, and you got to have guys that can cover the pass. But you also have guys too. I mean, in our division, you're gonna, you know, there's no shortage of running backs, so they're gonna have to be physical and tackle as well. And so, but I feel like we've improved, and you know, we still have the draft ahead of us and all of that, so you know, we'll see where this thing shakes out.
Doug, do you think it's a little bit of an arms race right now at the wide receiver position in the league, and especially in the AFC and maybe even in the AFC South? Looks like Houston was even trying to load up on Keenan Allen. Can you just not have enough of them?
You can never have enough of any position. I mean, you got to have bodies. You got to have, you know, and you got to have the right guys. I think the right guys that come in and add to your culture. But when you think about some of the young quarterbacks, and teams are playing in more 11 personnel, you know, nowadays, and having three guys, and it's important that you have those guys. You know, we our division, you know, the AFC South, got better in a hurry just at the quarterback position, you know, and you're looking at some of the teams that we have to face, you know, in Tennessee and Indy, and you know, they all have a pretty good receiver rooms, you know, so can never have enough.
The draft class as it looks,
it's good. I mean, you look at the top of the draft, obviously it's really good. And there's always some guys you can find, you know, in the middle part of the draft too, that can come in and help you and probably aid more on special teams a little bit, you know. Of course, we'll see how the new kickoff, hybrid kickoff rule goes, you know, later today. But, you know, it's a good receiver class this year.
Was there a window that you thought you were going to get Ridley back and Gabe Davis?
There was. You know, that was never out of the question. You know, to do that. So, you know, you always have, you know, you think of every possibility and every scenario and try to be the best team that you can.
Moving on from Darius, Rayshon and Foley, you know, what sort of went on with that decision, and were they just not fits on the defense, or why aren't they back?
You know, it's part of free agency sometimes, you know. It's part of, you know, your roster construction. There's tough decisions that have to be made, and all three of those guys are very valuable to us. You know, they helped us win a championship in 22 and with the AFC South and you know, get to the postseason and all that, and you know, they've battled through some injuries themselves. You know, you think about Foley and what he's battled through, and Rayshon was a staple back there in the secondary and all of that. So, you know, it's tough decisions, you know, but it's part of our business, part of our league, and you know, you have to move on and try to, you know, try to replace them if you can.
This generation of tight ends around the league, why have they been so productive, and why are they so good in the offenses now?
Well, I think you're not seeing the big tight end anymore, right? You're not seeing that inline guy. And if he is, he's 250 pounds. He's not 290 pounds like back in the day, you know. And so they're athletic guys. They're, you know, they're probably multiple sport athletes growing up. It's just they're bigger receivers, you know, quite honestly. And that's what you're seeing coming out of college with some of these guys. And you know, now getting to our level, yeah, you're going to ask them to block. You're going to ask them to do more things. You know, and they can do it, you know. But I just think that they're how they've been brought up, you know, the college program that they came from a little bit. But again, I just think they're the bigger receiver type guys that are going to play a tight end.
Easier to find those guys than the big tight
ends. I think it depends on what you're looking for and the type of tight end you want. You know, I mean, we got tight end Ys, you got tight end Fs, right, in our system. So the tight end Y is more of your primary inline blocker. Tight end F is more of your Evan, right? He's a guy you can put in space. He can run routes. He can catch, and he can also block. So it just depends on what you're looking for. And you know, I think a year ago it was a pretty good tight end class. You know, it's something that we're diving into this year. Looking there, we're thankful that we got three guys. You know, that we were able to get Brenton last year to add to that room.
How's that psychology for Mac coming in here? How challenging is that? First round pick, starting quarterback, take a back seat, push Trevor. Like, what's the dynamic?
Yeah, you know, those are conversations we'll have, and I want to have with him just coming in. I don't want him to feel like there's any pressure on him to perform. He knows the expectation coming in and what we're as a staff, what we're looking for. But yeah, you're right. I'm not in the mind of Mac Jones, but, you know, yeah, you're a first-round pick. You had an excellent rookie season, and then things kind of didn't go the way you wanted to. And then you get sidelined a little bit, you know, in there, and everything kind of feels like it may have gotten derailed. And that's not who he is, obviously. And so part of it, too, is just building that confidence back, you know, and letting him go out there and compete where he doesn't have to be the guy. Right, and just go out there and show us what you're capable of doing, and that's the expectation.
Do you like the kickoff proposed change?
I know something's probably going to happen. You know, I think there was around 20% of the kickoffs, 21% of the kickoffs last year were returned. Right, 0 out of 13 kickoffs in the Super Bowl, I think, were obviously not returned. You know, they were all touchbacks. I just think it's a play that has gone away in football. But we also got to remember, you know, it can also be a high injury rate play, you know. And so we got to think about player health and safety and keeping our guys healthy. So, you know, it's a unique proposal, obviously. I think there's more questions that have to be asked. And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
You said weeks of South. How surprised were you that CJ Stroud developed how fast he did?
Not surprised at all. I mean, the guy was talented coming out of Ohio State. I think everybody saw that. You know, obviously well coached. You know, that's part of it. The scheme, very, very user friendly for him. You know, put him in positions. Their run game was successful. Then the play action pass, athletic enough to move. You know, so all those pieces kind of fell into place for him. And but it wasn't a surprise. You know, this guy, just knowing who he is and his makeup, the way he works, not a surprise.
After the way last year ended, the injuries and disappointment.
He's disappointed. He's frustrated. You know, like we are. He knows that, you know, he has to play better. He knows that. We help him as a staff. We help him play better. You know, and then, but his availability, right? His health to the team. You know, that's the most important thing. And it just, at the quarterback position, when you miss a Wednesday practice, a Thursday practice, and maybe kind of go through some individual work early, and then you don't take many team reps, that's going to affect you on game day. It does, you know. And so we got to make sure that you know, he's taking every snap, every day, you know, out there at practice. And if he does that, then more good things are going to happen.
Is he kind of where he was mentally when you first got him after 2021? You know what I mean? Or is he...
No. He's light years past there. Yeah, light years past there.
So did Gabe Davis a good fit for you guys in free agency?
You know, just his style of play. This is a guy that he's big. He runs extremely well. He's physical as far as, you know, blocking. You know, it's I mean, the guy, there's a reason why he had averaged about 80 plus targets a year, you know, and he's a down the field guy. So, you know, much like Marvin Jones our first year, much like, you know, Calvin, not the same speed guy as Calvin, but can affect the defense down the field, is something that we look for, you know, opposite of say Jones, right? And really mixing in with Christian. And just excited to have him and getting to work with him.
Doug, you said Trevor's light years ahead. How?
Just where he is mentally, you know, just the mental part. I mean, we got to get better as a football player, but mentally, you know, he's in a good place. And again, I wasn't here in 21, so I don't know, but I can only speculate and say that he couldn't have been in a very good mental headspace coming out of that year. But now he's playing meaningful games. He's playing. He's taken the last 2 years, our team to the right there, and now we got to push through that. And so it bothers him. That part bothers him, right? Football bothers him, and that's a good thing. And so that's where we got to get him, you know, pushing us through that envelope, that wall, and you know, that's. I think the way, you know, going back to your point, I mean, the way we ended our season, I think that's his motivation too, you know.
Are you guys, you mentioned Mitch, but overall offensive line, how do you feel?
I feel good. I do feel good. The biggest thing for us is, you know, we do have to get better in the run game. That's a given. We weren't even as well as TJ, you know, 1,000-yard rusher last year. We still have to get better. There's still more on the table. That helps your quarterback. And, you know, you got to be able to run the ball in this league as well. It sets up a lot of different things for you. So that's something we, as a staff, have been focused on this offseason. You know, we feel like we're a pretty good passing team, you know, overall. I think we're right around a top 10, you know, passing offense, and we can improve there. The injuries affected us late in the season. Christian misses 5 games. Zayden wasn't healthy every week. You know, you had Calvin and Evan really, you know, out there playing. So we can definitely take better strides there. But the offensive line, I, you know, Cam missed 8 games, right? You know, our left guard was a revolving door, you know, early in the season. And if you look at it, week 18, was kind of the snapshot of the offensive line, what it was supposed to look like with Cam, Ezra, Luke, Brandon, and Anton. That was supposed to be the original, you know, not the original five to start the season, but when we got Ezra, that was supposed to be what it looked like. So they only played one game together. So we're excited for this upcoming offseason to get those guys working together.
How much responsibility? Oh, go ahead.
I asked you at the combine about play calling a few weeks only, I know, but have you given that more thought?
A little bit.
And any resolution?
It's been 2 weeks. So I thought about it a little bit more.
Easy breath.
No answer.
Not yet.
Well, how much responsibility does Trevor need to take for the injuries? Like, I know there's a lot to go into those, but like, you could probably make the case that three of them were he could have avoided.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, obviously, nobody wants to get hurt, and everybody's trying to make plays on the field. We just have to make sure that he's either throwing the ball away or protecting himself, whatever he can do. Some of it, you know, if you. You know, the Indy one, he was rolling out on a play that he got tackled from behind and hurt himself there, you know. But, you know, the head stuff, I mean, we can help him with that and, you know, just throwing the ball away and different things. So, you know, he can do it himself, obviously, but at the same time, we need as a staff make sure that we're helping him do that.
Got about 5 minutes left.
Coach, what is Detroit getting in Coach Townsend?
I think it is hard.
You know what? They're going to get somebody that's got a high passion for the game. He played the position, obviously, so he's got experience there. He's a good leader, you know, on the field. He did a nice job of getting those guys ready to play each week, and he's going to bring a lot of energy, and that's what you like about him.
Trevor, the contract stuff. I know you don't involve yourself as much with, but does that, whether it's Josh or Trevor, I mean, does that impact how their business kind of gets done, your football team, your locker room, any of that stuff?
I mean, you hope it doesn't, you know, affect them, you know, moving forward, whatever happens, you know, however it plays out. You know, obviously you try to get something done, you know, sooner than later, right? But listen, they're both great players. They're both Jaguars. They're starters. They're the leaders of our team. That part's not going to change. They're athletes. They're competitors. And when they step out on that field, that's what takes over, right? Is that competition and all of that. So, you know, I know they let their agents handle all the dirty work and the heavy lifting, and they just have to go play.
Do you have enough atmosphere right now? Is there something else, anything else you'd like to add to that room?
I mean, we're going to consider and look and see if we can continue to add. You know, I mean, yeah, we're going to add receivers, and we're not, you know, we need 15 or 16 guys going into training camps. We're going to add guys, right? We're not where we need to be. It's not the final product. But, look, if there's somebody sitting there that makes you better, you know, you can do everything you can to try to do that. So it's you know, we talked about it. It's a good receiver group this year, and if you can always add talent wherever you can.
You know, the young quarterback. What's the best thing you can do to put them in a position to develop early and have that early success?
I think one of the biggest things you can do is help them with the run game. If you get your run game going, then that's going to open up some things in the pass game, play action pass, movement game, all of that. And then just having the right pieces around it, having guys that he's comfortable throwing the ball to, you know, the guys that he's kind of knows. You know, like for me, it was the Zach Ertz to Carson Wentz, right, when he was that rookie quarterback, and there was confidence there and understanding that. And, you know, I think with Trevor 2 years ago, was, you know, Marvin Jones was the guy he had the most confidence in. And then he got better with Zay and with Calvin and Evan and guys like that. So, but I do believe it starts with the run game.
You mentioned Armstead. How important is Devon Hamilton getting back to being Devon in there?
To me, I think that's the key, right? I think that's, you know, for Devon and all indications, right, this offseason that he's trending in the right direction and he's getting back. And I'm excited for that, you know, and I know he is too. And that was a big – we missed that piece last year. And even though he played late, he just wasn't the same, you know. And so getting him back to full strength with guys like Eric and Roy This is going to be great for Roy, too, you know, having a guy like Eric in there to really, again, just a veteran guy, you know, to help those guys. So, but, yeah, Devon is a big piece.
If you look at Trevor's turnovers, it seems like it would scare a lot of people, organizations. You guys seem unwavered, though, that he's the guy you want him
on
to be.
On the outside. On the inside.
Do you think he can...
Yeah, you can. You can fix it. And, you know, obviously, yeah, interceptions are going to happen, but it's the pocket stuff, right? It's the fumbling in the pocket, out of the pocket. That's the part that we can help him with, the ball security stuff. And just got to get – it's hard for young players because they feel like they can make every play. And it's okay to throw the ball away. We just got to keep educating him, you know, in these situations. And – but yeah, you can coach it, you know. But you are the guy that's touching the ball every snap, so you know we got to make smart decisions too.
Okay, what are the offense when he does his quarterback sneak? Is that part of it? Tell
that?
Everybody else that he's going to do the quarterback sneak.
That would be part of it.
You mentioned the run game with Travis, but how important is it to get Tank going this year? It seemed like last year he was kind of on and off.
Yeah, we got to get Tank going. I mean, bottom line, he's too good. That's why we drafted him, you know. And you know, I think early he had some bad, he was just those like whoa, what is that type play, you know? And for whatever reason, right or wrong, you know, it was just in and out of the lineup. But he is a young player that we're excited about. Definitely, as we talked about last year. We can take some burden off of ETN a little bit, you know, keep him healthy for the remainder of the season.
Is Savage or Nickel going to compete at that spot?
He'll compete at that spot, you know, but he goes in right now, you know, as the one, you know, right there, and then you know, you got Antonio in the back end, you know, with Cisco back there. So it's a good little mix of guys.
So you see Antonio as the replacement for Rayshon, though?
I think so. Moving forward, I think that's the thing. But he can also compete, you know, at nickel as well.
It gives you flexibility.
Gives you flex. Exactly. Exactly.
With Devin Duvernay.
Last one. This is it.
He's a return specialist. Obviously, we know what he can do there. But how do you guys view him as a receiver?
Good. You know, much like Jamal, you know, in that regard, you know, Baltimore used him that way a little bit, you know, as a receiver, and you know, again, excited to get him into our system and see what he can do there, and go from there.